Welcome back, everybody, and our most sincere apologies to anyone who was driving yesterday at the end of the episode and fell asleep behind the wheel, because that song was overly soothing, and I went back and listened to it, Chip.
Yeah.
And yeah, I thought I was gonna fall asleep right into a deep hibernation.
Well, yeah, that's the purpose of the song for sure.
It was really good.
Yeah, good. Well, thanks, Eric. Speaking of really good, today is day 108.
Doesn't get better than that.
No way. We're going to read 1 Samuel 25 and 26. Jump ahead to Mark chapter 9, 30 through 50.
I guess I'll go to the right part of the Bible then.
It's a good idea.
The death of Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 25. Now Samuel died, and all Israel gathered for his funeral. They buried him at his house in Ramah.
Big funeral. Nabal angers David. Then David moved down to the wilderness of Maon. There was a wealthy man from Maon who owned property near the town of Carmel. He had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats, and it was sheep shearing time. This man's name was Nabal, and his wife Abigail. And Abigail was a sensible and beautiful woman, but Nabal, a descendant of Caleb, was crude and mean in all his dealings. When David heard that Nabal was shearing sheep, he sent 10 of his young men to Carmel with the message for Nabal: "Peace and prosperity to you, your family, and everything you own. I am told that it is sheep shearing time. While your shepherds stay among us near Carmel, we never harmed them. Nothing was ever stolen from them. Ask your own men, and they'll tell you this is true. So would you be kind to us, since we have come at a time of celebration? Please share any provisions you might have on hand with us and with your friend David." David's young men gave this message to Nabal in David's name, and they waited for a reply. "Who is this fellow David?" Nabal sneered to the young men. "Who does this son of Jesse think he is? There are lots of servants these days who run away from their masters. Should I take my bread and my water and my meat that I've slaughtered for my shears and give it to a band of outlaws who come from who knows where?" So David's young men returned and told him what Nabal had said. "Get your swords," was David's reply, as he strapped on his own. Then 400 men started off with David. 200 remained behind to guard their equipment. Meanwhile, one of Nabal's servants went to Abigail and told her, "David sent messengers from the wilderness to greet our master, but he screamed insults at them. These men have been very good to us, and we never suffered any harm from them. Nothing was stolen from us the whole time they were with us. In fact, day and night, they were like a wall of protection to us and the sheep. You need to know this and figure out what to do, for there is going to be trouble for our master and his whole family. He's so ill-tempered that no one could even talk to him." Well, Abigail wasted no time. She quickly gathered 200 loaves of bread, 2 wineskins full of wine, 5 sheep that had been slaughtered, nearly a bushel of roasted grain, 100 clusters of raisins, and 200 fig cakes. Mm. She packed them on donkeys and said to her servants, "Go on ahead. I will follow you shortly." But she didn't tell her husband Nabal what she was doing. As she was riding her donkey into a mountain ravine, she saw David and his men coming toward her. David had just been saying, "A lot of good it did to help this fellow. We protected his flocks in the wilderness, and nothing he owned was lost or stolen. But he has repaid me evil for good. May God strike me and kill me if even one man of his household is still alive tomorrow morning."
Abigail intercedes for Nabal. When Abigail saw David, she quickly got off her donkey and bowed low before him. She fell at his feet and said, "I accept all blame in this matter, my lord. Please listen to what I have to say. I know Nabal is a wicked and ill-tempered man. Please don't pay any attention to him. He's a fool, just as his name suggests. But I never even saw the young men you sent. Now, my lord, as surely as the Lord lives and you yourself live, since the Lord has kept you from murdering and taking vengeance into your own hands, let all your enemies and those who try to harm you be as cursed as Nabal is. And here is a present that I, your servant, have brought to you and your young men. Please forgive me if I have offended you in any way. The Lord will surely reward you with a lasting dynasty, for you are fighting the Lord's battles, and you have not done wrong throughout your entire life. Even when you are chased by those who seek to kill you, your life is safe in the care of the Lord your God, secure in his treasure pouch. But the lives of your enemies will disappear like stones shot from a sling. When the Lord has done all he promised and made you leader of Israel, don't let this be a blemish on your record. Then your conscience won't have to bear the staggering burden of needless bloodshed and violence. And when the Lord has done these great things for you, please remember me, your servant." David replied to Abigail, Please, "Praise the Lord, the God of Israel, who has sent you to meet me today. Thank God for your good sense. Bless you for keeping me from murder and from carrying out vengeance with my own hands. Mm-hmm. For I swear by the Lord, the God of Israel, who has kept me from hurting you, that if you had not hurried out to meet me, not one of Nabal's men would still be alive tomorrow morning. Then David accepted her present and told her, return home in peace. I have heard what you said. We will not kill your husband. When Abigail arrived home, she found that Nabal was throwing a big party and was celebrating like a king. He was very drunk, so she didn't tell him anything about her meeting with David until dawn the next day. In the morning, when Nabal was sober, his wife told him what had happened. As a result, he had a stroke, and he laid paralyzed in his bed like a stone. About 10 days later, the Lord struck him, and he died.
David marries Abigail. When David heard that Nabal was dead, he said, praise the Lord who has avenged the insult I received from Nabal and has kept me from doing it myself. Nabal has received the punishment for his sin. Then David sent messengers to Abigail to ask her to become his wife. When the messengers arrived at Carmel, they told Abigail, David has sent us to take you back to marry him. She bowed low to the ground and responded, I, your servant, would be happy to marry David. I would even be willing to become a slave, washing the feet of his servants. Quickly getting ready, she took along five of her servant girls as attendants, mounted her donkey, and went with David's messengers. And so she became his wife. David also married Ahinoam from Jezreel, making both of them his wives. Saul, meanwhile, had given his daughter Michal, David's wife, to a man from Galim named Palti, son of Laish.
1 Samuel chapter 26, David spares Saul again. Now some people from Ziph came to Saul at Gibeah and told him, David is hiding in the hills of Hakilah, which overlooks Jeshimon. So Saul took 3,000 of Israel's elite troops and went to hunt him down in the wilderness of Ziph. Saul camped along the roadside in the road beside the hill of Hakilah near Jeshimon, where David was hiding. When David learned that Saul had come after him into the wilderness, he sent out spies to verify the report of Saul's arrival. David slipped over to Saul's camp one night to take a look around. Saul and Abner, son of Ner, the commander of his army, were sleeping inside a ring formed by the slumbering warriors. Who will volunteer to go in there with me? David asked Ahimelech the Hittite and Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, Joab's brother. I'll go with you, Abishai replied. So David and Abishai went right into Saul's camp and found him asleep, with his spear stuck in the ground beside his head. Abner and the soldiers were lying asleep around him. God has surely handed your enemy over to you this time, Abishai whispered to David. Let me pin him to the ground with one thrust of the spear. I won't need to strike twice. No, David said. Don't kill him, for who can remain innocent after attacking the Lord's anointed one? Surely the Lord will strike Saul down someday, or he'll die of old age or in battle. The Lord forbid that I should kill the one he has anointed. But take his spear and that jug of water beside his head, and let's get out of here. So David took the spear and jug of water that were near Saul's head, and then he and Abishai got away without anyone seeing them or even waking up, because the Lord had put Saul's men into a deep sleep. David climbed the hill opposite the camp until he was at a safe distance. Then he shouted down to the soldiers and to Abner, son of Ner, "Wake up, Abner!" "Who is it?" Abner demanded. "Well, Abner, you're a great man, aren't you?" David taunted. "Where in all Israel is there anyone as mighty? So why haven't you guarded your master, the king, when someone came to kill him? This isn't good at all. I swear by the Lord that you and your men deserve to die because you failed to protect your master, the Lord's anointed. Look around. Where are the king's spear and the jug of water that were beside his head?" Saul recognized David's voice and called out, "Is that you, my son David?" And David replied, "Yes, my lord the king. Why are you chasing me? What have I done? What is my crime? But now let my lord the king listen to his servant. If the Lord has stirred you up against me, then let him accept my offering. But if this is simply a human scheme, then may those involved be cursed by the Lord, for they have driven me from my home, so I can no longer live among the Lord's people. And they have said, 'Go worship pagan gods.' Must I die on foreign soil, far from the presence of the Lord? Why has the king of Israel come out to search for a single flea? Why does he hunt me down like a partridge on the mountains?" Then Saul confessed, "I have sinned. Come back home, my son, and I will no longer try to harm you, for you valued my life today. I have been a fool and very, very wrong." "Here is your spear, O king," David replied. "Let one of your young men come over and get it. The Lord gives his own reward for doing good and for being loyal, and I refuse to kill you even when the Lord placed you in my power, for you are the Lord's anointed one. Now may the Lord value my life even as I have valued yours today. May he rescue me from all my troubles." And Saul said to David, "Blessings on you, my son David, for you will do many heroic deeds, and you will surely succeed." Then David went away, and Saul returned home.
Okay, fast forward to Mark chapter 9, starting with verse 30. Jesus again predicts his death. Leaving that region, they traveled through Galilee. Jesus didn't want anyone to know he was there, for he wanted to spend more time with his disciples and teach them. He said to them, "The Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of his enemies. He will be killed, but 3 days later, he'll rise from the dead." He didn't understand what he was saying, however, and they were afraid to ask him what he meant.
The greatest in the kingdom. After they arrived at Capernaum and settled in a house, Jesus asked his disciples, "What were you discussing out on the road?" But they didn't answer because they had been arguing about which of them was the greatest. He sat down, called the 12 disciples over to him, and said, "Whoever wants to be first must take last place and be the servant of everyone else." Then he put a little child among them. Taking the child in his arms, he said to them, "Anyone who welcomes a little child like this on my behalf welcomes me. And anyone who welcomes me welcomes not only me, but also my Father who sent me."
Using the name of Jesus. John said to Jesus, "Teacher, we saw someone using your name to cast out demons, but we told him to stop because he wasn't in our group." "Don't stop him," Jesus said. "No one who performs a miracle in my name will soon be able to speak evil of me. Anyone who is not against us is for us. If anyone gives you even a cup of water because you belong to the Messiah, I tell you the truth, that person will surely be rewarded. But if you cause one of these little ones who trust in me to fall into sin, it will be better for you to be thrown into the sea with a large millstone hung around your neck. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It's better to enter eternal life with only one hand than to go into the unquenchable fires of hell with two hands. If your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It's better to enter eternal life with one foot than to be thrown into hell with two feet. And if your eye causes you to sin, gouge it out. It's better to enter the kingdom of God with only one eye than to have two eyes and be thrown into hell, where the maggots never die and the fire never goes out. For everyone will be tested with fire. Salt is good for seasoning, but if it loses its flavor, how do you make it salty again? You must have the qualities of salt among yourselves and live in peace with one another.
And that is our reading today. And we read that with two questions in mind, Chip. But first, before we highlight that, I just want to highlight how three of these little sections right in a row were about how stupid the disciples were at this time.
Oh.
Right? They didn't understand what he meant.
Yeah.
And they were afraid to ask.
Yep.
They were arguing about who was the best. And then they told people to stop. Oh, man. It's remarkable to me because of the growth that they experienced after the resurrection. Like, it changes everything.
It does.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's
amazing.
It's awesome.
And I think we've all been in those places before.
So we have.
Not being mean to the disciples.
No, no. Don't email us. You're going to meet them. They're going to email you.
They're
going to find you in heaven.
No, I think they only have Gmail.
They do have Gmail.
Yeah, all right.
All right, let's do it.
How does this help you love God more?
This happened yesterday, you know, and it happened again today. So I learned something. I discovered something about God. I knew this about God, but I love this about God in our Old Testament reading. And I had that in my mind. And it literally is the last few words.
Hmm.
He says, "Live in peace with each other." And so I love that about God. We see something with David and Nabal and then Abigail coming in,
mm-hmm.
you know, and David thanked God for Abigail. And so we learn something about God, that part of his character is that he's a peacemaker. God is a peacemaker. Now, there's a time for battle, for war, for destruction, for wrath and judgment. But I love that about God, that he desires us to be at peace with him
mm-hmm.
and experience the peace that he offers, but also to be at peace with one another, as we see here.
Mm.
And so that's good. I think it's in the world we live in today, that's a very good word. You know, how do we, and that's something I'm navigating, how do I stand on the word, live by the word, and yet still be at peace mm-hmm. with one another?
Mm-hmm.
And I realized I can be at peace with you, and that's what I need to focus on. I can't make you be at peace with me.
Right.
I want you to be, but I need to do my part mm-hmm. to stand what I believe, but at the same time, be respectable and promote peace with one another. So I love that about God, that quality, and it's definitely is challenging for sure to be like that at times.
Hmm.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I was going to go with being a peacemaker too. I think Abigail, you remember, and I say this frequently when we read about a brilliant or strong or important women in the Old Testament, remember that this is a departure from the normal culture of the Old Testament times, and especially the ancient Near East. Abigail saving her husband from the wrath of David. She didn't just save Nabal. She saved David, and David says as much, that he was going to kill this guy.
Yeah.
And what an example of misplaced anger, right? Like,
true.
David doesn't kill Saul, who's causing all of his problems.
Yeah.
Right? Twice, yeah. He doesn't kill him.
Sure.
But as soon as Nabal, you know, leaves a mean comment in the comment section, mm-hmm. right? Like,
he's done.
Yeah, David's going to nuke this guy.
Yeah.
And Abigail stops it. And I just think that there's something important in there. To stand in when a fool is causing war, to stand in and bring about peace. I just think that there's something there. The humility that it takes, the love that it takes, mm-hmm. The prioritizing of peace and God's will. Like, those things are important. So, yeah, that's what I think. I can love people better by being the kind of peacemaker that Abigail is.
A lot of peace today, Eric.
A lot of peace.
Mm-hmm. We love peace.
Yeah, that's true. And we love you guys.
We do.
And we're glad that you joined us.
We are.
Yeah. Okay. And Chip apparently had a, I don't know, was that a sneeze I just heard, Chip?
I don't know. Something crazy. Yeah.
I will say on? That was like, if you were like a comic book character,
mm-hmm.
that would have been a huge, massive thing, of a huge etchew
yeah.
in the frame, you know?
Thank you, Eric.
Yeah.
Appreciate you.
I appreciate your textbook sneeze. Oh, yeah. Man, I just lost my place in the Bible. Hey, you guys, we're proud of you. We appreciate you. We hope that you're blessed by this ministry. It is a ministry of reading scripture. And
I was definitely blessed by my sneeze.
You were definitely blessed. I don't know if I said bless you, though.
Yeah, but somebody did.
Someone did.
You know somebody did, Eric.
Yeah, someone did. All right, well,
okay.
Bless all of you.
Bless you.
With many sneezes.
Yes, peace be with you.
Sneeze be with you.
And with you. And also with you.
Are we doing that?
We did.
We did a little two-finger handshake,
it's
too.
Over.
A little peace be with you.
Peace, yeah.
Yeah.
It's good. All right.